Well, listening to that was spectacular. And seeing a lot, it just reminds me, I don't know if anyone saw this video recently of a church. You'll hear me sometimes talk about the drummer in the box, you know, that churches have a drummer and they're in that little Perspex box. And I wonder how the drummer felt in this. I've thought about playing this, but showing this, but there's a drummer leading worship, you know, very exuberantly, and the guitarist is up front and the singers are there all singing. And the drummer's in a little plastic box, you know, one day that'll be you, Peter. But you don't want this to happen. There's a huge cross, wooden cross, at the side of the stage. And at some point, the wooden cross slowly, in slow motion, I might add, it looks like it's slow motion, just goes and lands on top of the plastic box and on top of the drummer, and the whole thing collapses. And the band keeps playing. They're not aware that the drummer has gone. I'm sure the drummer was okay. They wouldn't have posted it otherwise. Just think about welcome tonight. Just very, you know, we're going to do this quite briefly. And just let's take a few moments to think about welcome. I wonder what the best welcome you've ever experienced has ever been. I'm going to ask you to talk to one another for a minute or two about that. But what's the best welcome anywhere that you've ever had? The best welcome I've had was the first time I went to Africa. I was in Zambia and arrived in this church to speak with two people from the church that I was part of. And we were up the front and it was time to start the service. And these ladies started coming into the church dancing. They were what's called the Mothers' Union, dressed in blue and white uniforms. And they come dancing into the church. I think, oh, that's nice. And they're kind of looking at us and singing towards us. And, you know, it was a song of welcome. So that was great. And then as they got nearer, I realized that between the first two people and the next two people were carrying, sort of alternately between them, a chicken. Not one of the rotisserie chickens that you would get in the supermarket, but a real live chicken. And this was being brought in as part of the ceremony. And I'm going, what's that about? It must be some African ritual that I'm not aware of. So I said to the minister friend next to me, you know, what is that about? What's going on with the chicken? And they said, he said, Derek, his name is, he said, that's your lunch. They're bringing you your lunch. And I went, okay. So one of them is going to kill this for us so that we can eat it. I said that. And he said, oh no, you're the guest. You're the guest. One of you will have to kill the chicken. So we spent the whole service worrying about which one of us was going to kill the chicken. I was the leader, so it was going to always be me that got to kill the chicken. And he basically, it was when we got back to the house, at the end of the service, I preached and we did all the things, worshipped and did all the things we needed to do, worrying all the time, how am I going to do it? Is it going to be a chopping thing or what's going to happen? Is it, you know, strangling it? I was really, really worried about it. And then we had to take it home. So I tried to hold this chicken that was squawking, thinking, I'm going to have to execute you shortly. This is horrible. And we walked all the way. We had about a mile to walk back home. And then we sat in the garden and watched this chicken running around. The chicken still wasn't dead at this point. And it was running around and we were looking at it and looking at each other. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then I looked and saw our hosts laughing their heads off. Because it was our lunch, but they didn't expect us to do the killing. They were going to do that. And the lady of the house eventually came out and got the chicken ready. I mean, it was bad enough watching the chicken getting ready to be lunch, basically. It was horrible. So that was a kind of interesting, probably the most interesting welcome. Just take a minute to share around your tables. What is the most interesting welcome you have ever had anywhere? It might be a good, might be a bad. You've probably got great stories to tell. Anyone want to share a story of welcome, Naomi? I'll give you the mic. Oh, you're very confident with the mic. Will I get it back?
So when I go to my granddad's at Christmas, he always makes us these like models.
Christmas scene.
Yeah, and then it's in his dining room. And then it's like, one year it was a life-size sleigh. And then the next year it was like an igloo that we could go into.
So he does it different each year. So you kind of live with the anticipation of, I wonder what it will be. Very good. Yeah. That's great. Can I have it back? All right, you're doing the next bit of this talk then, no? Okay, thank you. I've always got a weapon. Anyone else? Sandy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been made, as you know, I'm a barbershop singer, and I go and occasionally and visit other choruses. And I remember in Alaska, when I was there, I visited a chorus there, and they came and picked Angela up and myself up from our hotel. And the guy who was hosting us, his wife came along, so that Angela had company. And then after we'd done our singing, they took us out for beer and pizza and dropped us off at our hotel. I mean, that was above and beyond what we'd expected. And it was very kind of them.
Wonderful. Yeah, North Americans do a brilliant welcome, I find as well. Harder sometimes to get to know people. And that's kind of, there's a clue in there. It's great. It's easy to do the initial welcome, much harder to be consistent about that. You know, today's a really special day. The Paula Radcliffe's world record from 2003 was broken today. Amazing that the record held for 16 years. And so we welcome a new world record holder. We welcome a new wonderful team on the world stage of rugby, following the rugby this morning and this afternoon. The best response to what happened at the rugby welcoming Japan on the world stage was this: "Wow, what a game. A country and a language that few people understand or respect. A country that receives criticism for what it eats and its strange dress code. A population battered by extreme weather conditions. A nation not known for its rugby. And now they lose to Japan." I didn't, when I was reading it, I'm going, oh yeah, of course, it's very true about Japan. It's about us! It's about Scotland, wow! I thought it was brilliant, though. And, it's great when a country like Japan suddenly takes that place on the world stage. And I think people generally have just welcomed their arrival. But welcome's really important. It's been interesting, even this morning, Liz was being interviewed this morning, and she mentioned welcome, the importance of welcome, and I thought we'd just spend a few minutes tonight thinking about the welcome that we offer, not just as a church, but as individuals. Is that butterfly again? I really want to catch it and take it outside. And we've got this great verse in Romans 15, verse 7. "Welcome one another, therefore, as just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." It's kind of at the heart of who we are as believers, that we are people of welcome. I don't know if you're familiar with this picture. Anyone seen this picture before? And be able to identify it? It's an icon that comes from the Orthodox Church. It was painted by a medieval icon painter, probably the most famous, called Alexander Rublev. And it's an icon of the three angels at Mamre in Genesis chapter 18. These three angels kind of arrive, and Abraham offers hospitality to them. But this is known not just as the three angels, it's known as the Trinity. And it's a picture of the Trinity: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the middle is a plate with lamb, and it's the sacrifice that is Jesus it's pointing to. And the thing about this is always, when people look at it and they talk about it, they'll always say there's a kind of opening space between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three angels, which kind of invites us in to participate in God at that table. And I always find that a really helpful and powerful image, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in relationship with one another. And we're invited to enter the life of the Trinity. We're invited to participate in the life of God. We are made welcome by God. Julie read for us the passage from Matthew chapter 10. It's a really interesting passage because it's set in the context of what kind of welcome people are necessarily going to offer you. If you read the rest of chapter 10, it's an absolutely fascinating passage. Can you, everybody, see that? Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So I think there are three principles of welcome at work within this that we might pick up on. The first one is this. When it's talking in the first few verses, it's talking about welcoming Jesus, first and foremost. Welcome Jesus. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. It's kind of a reference to the God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's just an attempt to kind of suggest that there is the Trinity at work here. Welcoming Jesus. That's a kind of starting point for us. If you think about other stories that Jesus told, you'll know that one of my favorite stories is the story of the forgiving father, or we call it sometimes the prodigal son, where the son runs away and spends all his father's money, and the father waits and waits and waits, and then when the son realizes he's made a mistake, the father welcomes him back. But the older brother isn't so happy about this, the younger son coming back. He's a bit tetchy about that. And we're called to be people who welcome just as the Father welcomes. We should be concerned for the prodigal, the people who make bad choices, the people who go off the rails, the people who are lost, the people who are least. That is the principle that we operate by. Because Jesus welcomes us, we welcome Jesus, and we welcome all those that Jesus calls. That seems to me to be fundamental to what we do as followers of Jesus. We start by welcoming him. So that's the first question for us tonight. Is Jesus welcome here? Is he welcome in my life? Is he welcome to be the leader and the one who I follow and the one that I trust in? Have I put my trust in him today? It's not like I asked the question this morning, when did you first become a Christian? When did you first start following Jesus? And that's a good question to be asked, but I have to wake up in the morning and make the decision to follow Jesus, to welcome Jesus into my life today. There are days when I don't do that. I'm conscious of doing that. I just want to do my own thing and not be listening to what the Lord is saying. So do I welcome Jesus? Have I welcomed Jesus? Do I welcome Jesus? The second thing from the Matthew 10 passage is this: welcome God's word. Did you notice what it said? If you welcome a prophet as a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And everyone who welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And there's something in here about welcoming the word of God, welcoming the one who brings God to us, whether it's because they do good things or because they bring the word of God. That's what the prophet does. So here's a question for us. Do we welcome God's word in our lives? It's very easy for me to coast, for you to coast through life, and God speaks into our hearts and our minds, and we just kind of say, well, I know that because I've been around and I've heard it. But do I welcome what God is saying to me day by day by day? There's a huge challenge to us in that. And then the third thing from the Matthew 10 passage is this. We need to be people who welcome in practical ways. The passage ends, Matthew 10 ends with, and if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So there's something there about giving to those who are followers of Jesus who believe. We should be generous to one another in that regard. But if that's the basic principle, we're to be welcoming people to one another, then that goes beyond just those who are disciples. It means that we just generally are to be welcoming. So it's great when someone new comes along, they get a brilliant welcome. It's we can kind of do this and go, yeah, we're known as being a welcome church. We had someone who visited us recently who came to church, and he came last year to a service. And they said, what a great welcome St. Thomas's gives. It's just wonderful. We've been to other churches and nobody spoke to us. But St. Thomas's, well, now that's great. And we could rest on our laurels and say we are a welcoming church and think that we're doing brilliantly. But I wonder how much we open ourselves up to the life of others. We were talking about, yeah, I've got North American friends who it's taken me a long time to really get alongside them and get to know them. They were brilliant at welcoming, very hospitable. But actually getting to know people is much, much harder. And we've got to open our lives up. That's kind of why we, you know, the home groups are quite important, because it's a way of building relationship and building capacity for friendship, of truly welcoming people, not just by feeding them, that's very important, but welcoming one another into our lives. How many of us have got friends who really know the ins and outs of us? You know, they know the good things and they know where the bad things are. Because that's really what all of us need. That's a kind of aspect of welcome. And people who come to us often will come from a place of lostness and maybe confusion, maybe some pain, maybe some brokenness. What they need is not just welcome, but friendship and relationship. Just as the Trinity represents the relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal but separate, the Godhead, the three in one. We are meant, called to be people who are people of hospitality. We recently finished the series on Hebrews, and some of you were going, yay, we finished Hebrews. It is fantastic we've got to that point. But one of my favorite verses in Hebrews is that verse near the end where it says, do not forget to show hospitality for strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. If you were here when we preached that, I told the story of my experience of someone trying to tell me they were an angel by quoting that verse. But we don't know, the point is we don't know who it is that we're really welcoming. You know, just as we don't know everything there is to know about the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we welcome him, we have amazing encounters with him. He wants to be known. He wants to walk with us. Similarly, when new people come into our lives, if we can be a people who welcome others, you do not know what that is going to bring to your life. Let me end with this story. When I was looking after a church, I had a lady in the church who, she was my greatest fan. She was my greatest fan. I mean, I didn't have many fans, but she was my greatest fan. I mean, I could do absolutely no wrong in her eyes. And, you know, she would come into church and she would make a beeline for me. It's really important that she was able to spend time with me. And it got really difficult because she wanted to hog my time. So great was her fandom of me. And some days I would get really frustrated because she would just want to talk and talk and talk and talk. And I had people who would come and rescue me from her. You know what I mean? So they would come and join, you know, just get alongside me and say, oh, David, we need you over here to do this. So come and talk. But she would write me little notes and she would send me messages and she would say, you're my priest, you're my only minister, you're just precious to me and how wonderful you are, and nobody else will ever be as good a minister as you are. It was all very embarrassing. And I got really frustrated, and some days I got really angry with her, and some days I would see her in the street and think, I really want to cross the road and avoid her. I'll just confess, that's what, you know, I just got to that place because she was just bombarding me with stuff. And then I moved away and we had less contact. She didn't see me, and I'm sure some other minister became her number one favorite. But she passed away. I heard 2 weeks ago that she passed away. She's very young, actually, early 40s. And I was incredibly sad. And it made me sort of think, how really welcoming was I of that lady? Her name was Rebecca. It's Rebecca. How really welcoming was I? I was really challenged by it, because sometimes welcome is going to cost us a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. So what is God calling us to be? What's it going to cost us to be a people of welcome? It cost the Lord everything. The Father, it cost him his Son. He gave everything so that we would be welcome at the Lord's table. So are we prepared for it to be a costly business, for us to be welcome intentionally? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we are welcome at your table, that you love us, that you care for us, that we're precious to you, and that you invite us to participate at your table, that you've made that possible through the giving of your Son. We thank you that we're in relationship with you, and we pray that we would reflect that as we love others, as we welcome those who come to us, who we connect with, that in our homes and our places of work, we would be people who would be hospitable and welcoming and open to others. Give us patience for those we find difficult. Give us love and give love to those who maybe find us difficult as well. But help us, Lord, to be a people of welcome who reflect your love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.